Hi, and welcome to another edition of Right on Rangers Live, coming at you immediately after a 10-1 loss at the hands of the St. Louis Cardinals. My goodness, I thought everything was lining up pretty nicely for a Texas Rangers win today. It was not meant to be. Rangers dropped this one 10-1. It got ugly late. Game was fairly close throughout the beginning innings, but got away from them. And the Rangers obviously went to some different arms, trying to just get through the game into the off day and get back to Texas. A disappointing road trip. We're going to get into everything in this one. Some of the key moments in the game, try and accentuate some of the positives. There's not a ton, but we've got a few things for you. Nevertheless, before we get started, here right on Rangers, we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers and especially the Rangers during baseball season. Appreciate everyone watching live, watching on the replay. We're a little bit early, I know, in the day, still about 4 o'clock Texas time at this point with the Rangers playing, but wanted to get on, got a few different things going on tonight, so wanted to make sure I got on post game. Gave y'all the analysis, gave y'all my take on this one, as hard as it is after the Rangers get drubbed by 9 runs, 10-1. Similar score to last night. It was an 8-1 ball game last night. And the Rangers, once again, did not get a stellar outing from their starting pitching. And we've said all along, the recipe for the Rangers to win games this season, I think we've had a big enough sample size, over 100 games. The recipe for the Rangers to win this season is to get outstanding starting pitching, and then from there to be able to turn it over to an excellent bullpen, maybe claw a couple runs across early, go up 2-3 runs. And obviously tonight, today, that doesn't happen. Andrew Heaney, don't think he gave up anything crazy. I think one double perhaps he gave up in this one. Otherwise, it was nothing but singles from the Cardinals. They kind of got singled to death today. Cardinals had 14 hits on the day. I would be surprised. I think they had 2 doubles, 12 singles. I mean, this was a game where the Rangers truly got singled to death. It was not a situation where home runs were getting hit all over the yard, which in a 10-1 game is kind of rare. The Cardinals just were slapping baseballs into right field, left field, center field. They were blooping hits here and there. It was just a little bit of everything, but not a lot of extra base hits today for the Cardinals, crazy enough. So Cardinals win this one 10-1. I think there were a couple of big moments that we could easily point to early on in the game. I really thought that in the, I believe it was the bottom of the fifth inning, when the Cardinals pushed the game to 5-0, at that point, we had a couple of different things going on. First of all, we had Ciani leading off, singling. Mason Winn pops out. Contreras doubles. And so you've got runners on second and third, and the Cardinals get a base knock from Alec Burleson. And we're going to kind of take you through that one. This was kind of a big moment in the game. So Rangers bring the infield in, which with one out and you're down 3 runs, does make sense. Something that I would have done for sure. But a baseball gets hit over Josh Smith's head, kind of a bloop that would have easily been caught by Josh Smith playing at normal depth. Corey Seager was DHing today. And one thing that I do want to note that to me was really disappointing from Josh Smith, and I really don't know what was going on in his mind on that play, but Josh Smith kind of casually jogs back for about 2 or 3 seconds after that ball bloops in right outside of the infield, kind of right on the edge of the grass. I don't know if he was thinking that Wyatt Langford was going to be coming in to get that ball, but clearly a baseball that belongs to Josh Smith. Josh kind of jogs after it casually for the first couple of seconds, realizes, oh, shoot, like we might have a chance to actually get this guy at home, and then starts sprinting after it. Makes a decent throw, a one-hopper home kind of off of his back leg. Carson Kelly got the start today for Jonah Heim. Not sure what happened. I thought Kelly should have been able to make the tag out at home, but the play should have never been that close to begin with. Just didn't like the effort there. Josh Smith, dude, you got to be sprinting after that baseball. It's not a foregone conclusion that the runner on second scores on a ball like that. I really thought we needed better from Josh Smith in that moment, and it ends up pushing the lead to 5-0. So when the effort's not there like that and you're getting your butt kicked, it makes it even more embarrassing. And Josh Smith not running full speed after that play, I'm sorry, that's little league stuff. Full speed after the baseball, if Wyatt Langford is fast enough to get there and he beats you there, so be it. At least you were going full speed. But for Josh Smith not to run full speed after that bloop single in the fifth inning that went over his head with the infield drawn in to make it 5-0, again, just makes the loss even more embarrassing when you're not giving good effort like that. Nate Lowe had an opportunity to gun down a run early. Nothing with the effort there, more just the execution. It was 1-0, and then hard ground ball to Nate Lowe by Pedro Pajes. Nate Lowe, I think, would have been able to get Tommy Pham at the plate with a better throw. I slowed it down, kind of did the slow-mo thing, freeze frame bit by bit. And Carson Kelly actually catches the ball right as Tommy Pham is going into his slide. If that is like chest high or even a little bit lower, I think that easily they get Tommy Pham at home plate. So I got to say, a little bit better execution there from Nate Lowe probably keeps that a 1-0 ball game. I don't think that it was a bad decision at all to throw home. Again, Nate Lowe's got a good arm. He's a great defender. And if you freeze frame that, a good throw does get Pham. Pham is just beginning his slide when Carson Kelly catches the ball that was thrown by Lowe. It's way too high. And some people were saying online that, you know, he should have just stepped on first. Again, go watch the replay. Carson Kelly catches the ball just as Tommy Pham is beginning his slide. A throw on the money probably gets him pretty comfortably. A throw right there at the feet, he's probably gunned, and the umpire makes a super easy call. It was just way too high of a throw. Bad execution by Nate Lowe, and it ends up costing a run. It's 2-0 at that point. Then the Cardinals play some small ball. Michael Ciani, the 9-hole hitter, lays down a very nice bunt. Andrew Heaney, I don't think, had any chance there. It's a difficult. Andrew Heaney being a lefty, you're going to your left. Just not an easy play for a lefty pitcher to make. And a great decision by the Cardinals to go up 3-0. So we have a 3-0 lead. Then we talk about the Josh Smith play, the bloop single, Smith not really hustling back. Cardinals make it 5-0. And from there, it pretty much was all she wrote. I, for one, just was really amazed that the Rangers were not able to put anything across against McGreevy, who was making his MLB debut today, and they made that guy look like an ace. And McGreevy, we talked about it last night, he has not been good in AAA. Making his MLB debut today, the dude had over a 5 ERA in AAA. Very, very embarrassing that McGreevy was able to do this. I'll be surprised. This is probably the best, I'll just throw it out there right now, hot take, perhaps, but I would probably bet that McGreevy is not going to have a better start this year than this one. And that's just what the Rangers have been doing for opposing pitchers. They have been making mediocre pitchers look really, really good. It's been going on all season long. McGreevy had 3 strikeouts tonight. The Rangers were putting a lot of baseballs in play. He threw, looks like, 99 pitches in this one. That's all it took him to get through 7 innings. Probably could have gone back out there for the 8th. It didn't matter. Only walked 1. I think that's really impressive, although this is a really aggressive Rangers lineup. But making McGreevy look this good with the kind of year he's having in AAA, which is not good, plus 5 ERA in AAA for McGreevy, it's just embarrassing that a rookie pitcher making his MLB debut, a guy that has not been pitching well in the minors, comes up and does this to you. The Rangers were 1-for-4 with runners in scoring position, so didn't really even have a ton of opportunities today. 5 left on base total. The story really was the second half of the order just doing completely nothing. Carson Kelly did manage to put a single through the infield, bounced off the second baseman's glove. Wasn't a particularly hard-hit baseball. Otherwise, the rest of the order went a collective. I'm going to do some fast math for you here. 0-for-19, 0-for-22, 1-for-22, something like that. It's just ugly. The bottom half of the order was not good today. Josh Jung, figure you got to give him a little bit of a pass. He's still getting back into the swing of things. But Wyatt Langford, 0-for-4, Dolley, 0-for-3, Nate Lowe, 0-for-3 with a walk. Josh Jung, 0-for-3, Kelly, 1-for-3, Jankowski, 0-for-3. Big reason that I wanted us to buy a bat at the deadline is because you can't keep trotting out Jankowski and Leody game after game as your main platoon. Just doesn't make sense to me. I think all Rangers fans at this point would much rather prefer seeing Josh Smith out in the outfield versus platooning Leody and Jankowski. I just don't think it's a recipe for success. Robbie Grossman, throw him in that platoon. There is just no reason that we shouldn't have gone out and got some kind of bat. You could have got a Yandy Diaz, DH'd him, put Josh Smith out in left field, move Wyatt to center. It's just bad timing. You know, the Rangers are a weird team this year. They look absolutely terrible, and then suddenly they piece together a little win streak. It's not going to shock me if the Rangers go home and have a decent homestand. It's just kind of what this team has been doing. But when you think that they should be taking advantage and winning games, they don't. Right? This would have been a primo opportunity to win a series, to take advantage, and maybe to jump ahead, at least maybe 1.5, 2.5 games back with the Astros kind of scuffling against the Pirates. Not meant to be. Not meant to be. It's really unfortunate that the Rangers were not able to take advantage of the Astros losing a couple of games, losing their series with the Pirates. Again, just when you think the Rangers should be piecing together wins, you win Monday right before the deadline. It feels like a pretty big win. You've got two chances to win the series in St. Louis, and both efforts are just abysmal. I mean, neither game was close, and it's kind of embarrassing, honestly, today with some of the different specific plays that I pointed out already. The Josh Smith over his head, jogging back to the baseball. You know, Nate Lowe not executing, throwing a ball way high on a play at the plate. Just not great. Just not great. So for me, defense aside, I really would have enjoyed seeing Josh Smith go to the outfield, play left field. I know you're probably losing a little bit defensively there, but I would have appreciated the Rangers going out, getting a bat, getting a guy that they can just DH, and having a better offensive output. I know a lot of people, I don't want to say a lot, but a lot of Rangers fans that I've seen really thought that Josh Jung was going to come back and flip a switch. I've been saying pretty much all year, I really didn't think that was going to happen. Josh Jung would have to go on some kind of heater to really make a difference with this offense. Now, let me get some comments here. Thanks for being patient, by the way, if you're hanging out. Natalie says, do you think the offense needs reordered? I really don't think a reordering is going to be that helpful. A 1-3 actually did fine today. Simeon had two doubles from the three hole. Josh Smith had a single. Corey Seager had a single. I don't really think a whole lot needs to be reordered. It's the bottom of the order and the lack of offensive depth at this point that's causing so many issues. And I think you have to throw out last year a little bit, and you have to look at this year. Doley is a 210 hitter. Wyatt Langford, as good of a June as he had July, he's hitting 247 right now, 688 OPS. Nate Lowe is having a good, I would say good summer, really. But maybe you say move Nate Lowe up. I think that could be one thing you look to do. Nate Lowe maybe into the five spot. Nate Lowe maybe even into the four spot. I don't know. I just think at this point, there's not a lot you can do to solve this problem at the bottom of the order and just getting really nothing pretty consistently from the bottom half. You can move Nate Lowe up to five. You can move him up to four. I think that's about the only thing you can do. After that, it's just kind of a crapshoot where you put certain guys. I really don't think it's going to make a monumental difference if you move up any of the bottom of our order. You know, Josh Jung, you figure, is going to make an appearance up towards the top eventually. But, you know, moving Jonah Heim, I know he didn't play today, but moving Jonah Heim up in the order, I don't think anybody really wants to do that at this point with how Jonah's been hitting over the course of the season. I think the only thing you can really consider doing is maybe moving Nathaniel Lowe up to the four or up to the five spot. I think the Smith, Seager, Simeon ordering is actually pretty nice. I like having Simeon protecting Corey Seager. I don't like Josh Smith protecting Seags. I just don't think that's a good, smart move. So, look, that's just my two cents. I would prefer to have Corey Seager protected by a legitimate silver slugger hitter than Josh Smith. As much as I love Smith, it's no disrespect. Simeon is a better hitter than Josh Smith. He is. He's got a better track record, more power. I actually like Marcus hitting right here. And I think Josh can be a fine leadoff hitter for us. I really do. I'm curious to see what they do with Josh Jung, but those are about the only reorderings that I would do in the lineup at this point. Let me keep going here with comments. Gio, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Rangers are now 1-5 in the last six games. They're not good on the road. That has been something that I have said pretty consistently. Rangers are pretty good at home. Not a bad team at home here. The splits, by the way. 29-23 at home. So they are six games over 500 team at home. And they are an 11 games under 500 team on the road. That is pretty much the season in a nutshell. Rangers kind of suck on the road, and they're actually a pretty decent squad at home. So going back home, maybe it'll be a good thing for the Rangers here. Now, you're playing some pretty good competition. You've got Red Sox this weekend. You've got Astros coming up early next week. Maybe the home cooking is just what the Rangers need to get back on track. That's what I'm going to hope for. Glass half full, optimistic perspective. The Rangers have been very terrible on the road. Unfortunate, though, because right before the All-Star break, you remember they went to LA and they went to Houston and actually had a really good road series. So I kind of wondered, maybe they would take that positive momentum from the last road series in LA and in Houston, and they'd be able to get some W's out on the road against Toronto and St. Louis. I really don't fear either one of those teams, even though St. Louis is leading. I mean, did anybody really feel like St. Louis, regardless of the score, up and down that lineup, is that overpowering? I mean, look, St. Louis has got some good hitters. The Cards have got some quality players. There's nobody to really be scared of in that lineup. Goldschmidt is not having that great of a year. Nobody in the St. Louis lineup is hitting over 300. They've got two hitters that are hitting 280. There's not a lot, in my opinion, to really be fearing in the St. Louis lineup. Arenado's hitting 263. Goldschmidt's hitting 233. This St. Louis lineup really did not intimidate me in the slightest. Credit to them. They had 14, 15 hits today. It is what it is. I think that they could have beat St. Louis at least two out of three games. At least two out of three. So, especially with the pitching lining up as it did, Lance Lynn, solid pitcher, nothing special. You know, Pallante, obviously they got to him on, Monday night? And then today, the major league debut dude, McGreevy, come on now. The Rangers should have won this series. I will say that. Now, I know there's a lot of meltdowns going on right now during the game today. A lot of people disappointed. This team's weird. I'm just going to say that for a second or third time. This is a weird team. I don't know if this team can make the playoffs or not. I'm not really making that decision right now in my head. The Rangers can get hot at a really odd time that you weren't expecting. Just when you think this Rangers team is down as bad as you think they could be, they start reeling off wins. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that against quality competition like Boston and Houston, but it wouldn't shock me. It wouldn't shock me if the Rangers had a really good homestand just when it like least makes sense for them to do so. I mean, I did not personally expect them after the Orioles series to go on the five-game win streak that they did. We all knew Chicago was bad, but let's be honest, a lot of us wouldn't have been surprised if we would have dropped a couple of games to the White Sox. I mean, be honest about it. Nobody would have been surprised if we would have dropped one, two games to the White Sox. Instead, they reeled off five straight victories and got back into the race. I'm not going to be surprised that they go have a good homestand in Arlington, regardless of what happened here in St. Louis. John, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. If you're still out there, not quite sure what to say about these last two games. We turn rookies into the reincarnation of Cy Young. That's a great quote. We turn rookies into the reincarnation of Cy Young. Adolis just looks awful. The pop-ups are just horrendous. He's referring to, and we've covered it on the show as well, the tremendous amount of pop-ups that this team, the Rangers, seem to generate. I mean, pop-up to shallow right, shallow left, pop-up on the infield. It's just pop-up city at some points for this Rangers offense. So I really think this point is valid. The Rangers have a bad habit, and we're being nice by calling it that, a bad habit of making mediocre pitchers look really good, look like all-stars, look like Cy Young winners. McGreevy has been nothing special in the minor leagues this year. He only struck out three. He wasn't getting a ton of swing and miss. We should have been able to hit McGreevy today. It is hard to watch this offense at times. And look, Adolis had a nice little run, but now kind of seems to be regressing back to what he's been all year. 185 over his last seven games, 172 over his last 15 games, 190 over his last 30. Dolie had a nice little three-game stretch there where he was producing. There were some two-out hits, but the numbers are what they are. He's hitting 185 over his last seven games. He's hitting 190 over his last 30. When is Adolis going to get dropped down in the lineup? I don't know if they can bench him. They don't have any other options. They don't have better options. So I don't know when Dolie is going to be getting moved down in the order, but it needs to happen. Bochy can't keep having a 180, 170, whatever it is, hitter in your five spot. It's just not going to go well for you offensively. I know that they want so badly for him to just turn a corner, but you're not going to win ball games when your five spot hitter is hitting 190. Well, hitting 172 over his last 15 games. It's just not going to work. And again, it makes me wonder if there's some kind of feelings thing getting in the way, if that makes sense. Like, are they really worried about a clubhouse rift, Dolie getting butthurt if he gets moved down? Come on now. It doesn't really take anything beyond saying his numbers out loud to justify moving him down. You're hitting 172 over your last 15 games, dude. Move on down in the order. Is what it is. Sorry about it. I don't think anybody would be questioning Bochy for moving Josh Jung up to the five spot and moving Dolie down to seventh. I mean, I don't know. I think that's the natural move at this point. No way do you move Nate Lowe down. Nate Lowe is probably top three, one of our best hitters over the last month. He's hitting very, very well. I think he has one of the highest batting averages on the team. I don't know. I think Dolie needs to drop down for sure. Natalie agrees about Smith getting moved to the outfield. Maybe you do have Duran DH. He was hitting all those bombs in AAA, and some guys are what we call quadruple A players. They hit really well down at AAA, but they just can't hack it at the major league level on a consistent basis. Zeke Duran may be one of those quadruple A players. He's going to rake down at AAA, but he's going to come up, and who knows how well he's going to hit. So he hasn't gotten enough opportunities at the big league level since he went down to AAA and was raking. So maybe you do give Duran a little bit of an extended opportunity at the DH position. Move Josh Smith out to left field, start having him take the pop flies. But I just have a bad feeling they're going to hang on to Leody and just keep having him get at bats. But I really do think you need to start transitioning Wyatt to center, start moving Josh Smith out to left field. He can still get, you know, those spot starts at short, at third base for Corey and for Josh Jung when needed. Marcus Semien probably not going to be a guy that you're going to be seeing rest a whole lot the rest of the way. But I do think Josh Smith needs to be your primary left fielder. Josh Smith in left, Wyatt in center, Dolie in right. And then you see what you can do with the DH spot. I think Duran, at this point, I'll take Duran in the mix there. I wish the Rangers would have upgraded the DH spot at the deadline. It didn't have to be anybody that flashy. It just needed to be an upgrade from what it is now, which is Jankowski and, you know, what we throw out there today, Robbie Grossman. I mean, I love Robbie. I love El Blondie, but they're not hacking it this year. And you needed to upgrade at least somewhat, and the Rangers chose not to. And this is what you get. Let me keep going. Appreciate the comment here. It says, the unproductive bats are mind-boggling against underrated pitchers. I think that's what everybody is saying here. It's just shocking to me. And we can't get on the top of the order as much, but you would think that some of these mid-level guys, average guys that we've got in the lineup, would be able to hit a rookie making his debut who hasn't been good in AAA. I would expect guys at the bottom of our order. I mean, guys like, you know, Kelly, Jankowski, guys like, you know, Dolie, and all the rest to be able to get some hits against a AAA pitcher making his major league debut. Wasn't meant to be. Aaron, what's up? Thanks for the comment. I think we are in a drought right now. Bats are a little sluggish. Hopefully the home cooking back home makes a difference. You get an off day tomorrow. Friday, you're at home. You're at home for a number of games. I hope it makes a difference. The Rangers, when they play at home, They are a team that is six games over 500. And that's a decent baseball team if you drag that out over the entire season. That 29 and 23 clip, that'll work. That'll play. That's a successful season if you can win that percentage of games. You know, you're winning 29 out of 52. That is, you know, roughly a 56% winning percentage. That'll probably get you into the wild card. 60% is always preferable, but 56%, that'll get you probably into a third wild card spot. Now, let me keep going here. We have a number of different comments I still need to get to, and then we'll go through the rest of the box score, all that good stuff. Garcia 210, I agree, it's pitiful. They got to move him down. It's time. He's hitting under 200 in his last 30 games, his last 15 games, his last 7 games. It's all under 200. Really could just do a swap, Josh Young and Dolly. Dolly can hit 7th, Josh Young can hit 5th, or Josh Young hit 6th, move Nate Lowe up to the 5th. I'd probably prefer that. Wyatt Langford, I mean, let's do some diving on Wyatt Langford real quick and just see where he's at over his last 7. Again, these stats are always kind of the truth serum. We get our favorites, Wyatt Langford, you know, we love him. Rookie, obviously, he's going to be an outstanding player. I really do believe that. But let's just see where Wyatt's at over his last little bit of time here. If I can pull it up, we'll see what happens. Having some trouble right now. I don't imagine that the numbers are great, but here it is. 183 Wyatt Langford over his last 15 games, 241 over his last 7, 243 over his last 30. So it hasn't been a great stretch for Wyatt Langford either. And again, when your 4-hole hitter, when your 5-hole hitter are hitting under 200 in your last 15 games. So both Dolly and Wyatt Langford, last 15 games, hitting under 200. That's not going to win you a lot of ball games. Those are primo positions in the lineup where you need production. So it's not a shock that the Rangers, you take out the White Sox series, haven't been winning a lot of baseball games. And a big part of it is because your 4-hole and 5-hole hitters are hitting under 200 their last 15 games. Let me keep things going here. Another comment for anybody listening on Apple or on Spotify podcast. I know I got a few people that listen that way. So we'll keep reading these comments out loud. Our last two starting pitchers can't make it past 4 innings. I agree. It's tough. When the starters for the Rangers don't pitch well, you're not going to win a lot of games with this current club. The recipe for the Rangers right now to win is you get really good starting pitching. You hand off an early lead to the bullpen. So the Rangers score 2, 3, 4 runs early. They hand off the lead to the bullpen. And Kirby Yates, David Robertson, Spores, and company shut it down. That's how the Rangers have been winning games this year. If they don't get out to an early lead, their comebacks have been few and far between. I mean, they had one against the White Sox where Wyatt Langford ultimately walked it off in extras. But they do not have a lot of comeback wins this year. Their way that they win is getting up in the first, second, third, fourth inning and then handing it off to the bullpen after the starter gives you 5 or 6 quality innings. Let me keep going here. John says, seeing Bam in back-to-back series was so unfortunate. I think he was mad about the sweep. Tommy Pham is a guy that I wanted the Rangers to pick up. I mean, think about having a guy like Pham right now who was available. The White Sox signed Tommy Pham with like a week left of spring training. Tommy Pham was unsigned until 1 week left of spring training. It's ridiculous. I mean, the Rangers could have picked up a guy like Pham even at the deadline. Why couldn't you have gone out and gotten Tommy Pham? I mean, Tommy Pham is not making that much money this year. Again, the White Sox signed him to a last-minute 1-year deal. I have no idea why the Rangers didn't think about going to get a guy like Tommy Pham. He's making $6 million this year. So what, you're on the hook for 2-point-something of it? Because the White Sox have already paid him over half of that contract. So that's what I don't understand. Like, you're not willing to take on $2 or $3 million to get a Tommy Pham? We could have absolutely used Tommy Pham, and clearly the White Sox were willing to deal him. Tommy Pham could have been a great DH for us. We could have had Tommy Pham play left field, and then you don't have to put Josh Smith out there in the outfield. You can just have Josh Smith DH. I mean, tell me where I'm wrong. How would Tommy Pham not have been a perfect solution for what we had going on? Tommy Pham's not a 30 home run guy, but you can't deny Tommy Pham would have been a clear upgrade. So not only seeing him in back-to-back series, but just the fact that we could have acquired him and he would have been a natural fit in our lineup because we need a guy that can DH. So that would either have been Pham or Josh Smith. And then we could have totally put the Leody, Jankowski, Grossman, platoon thing, whatever you want to call it, to bed. Then you've got Wyatt in center, Pham in left, and Doley in right. Ride that out the rest of the year and just have Josh Smith DH. The lack of going after Tommy Pham just kills me. It's a rental player that would have given you a great boost, and I seriously doubt that Tommy Pham would have been an expensive guy in terms of capital, farm capital, prospects, and you're paying, what, $2.5 million for him? It makes no sense. It boggles my mind on a completely other level why the Rangers were totally uninterested in Tommy Pham, both in the offseason, but also at the trade deadline. Let me keep rolling here. So Rangers, it says this comment, Rangers are like Tavares, hot and then cold, but mostly cold. I would say Leody season, it has kind of been like the Rangers season. Leody will hit 300 for 2 weeks or 400 for 2 weeks. Just like the Rangers just went on a nice little five-game win streak, and then Leody will look absolutely terrible. Leody Tavares right now didn't get playing time today. They sat him down on the bench for today. But look, Leody Tavares, he has not been on a good clip either. Again, I'm tired of what the Rangers have going on right now, the platoon thing that they're doing with that third outfield spot. It's just getting old to me. I really would have loved for them to acquire a Tommy Pham-type guy. Just an outfielder that's an upgrade. Tommy Pham can hit for power. We watched him hit the Grand Slam. He can hit lefties. Just doesn't make a lot of sense why we didn't go after him. Leody's hitting 140 over his last 15 games. It's ridiculous, y'all. I don't understand it. I don't want to go on and on about it for too long, but just ridiculous to me that the Rangers did not upgrade at all. At all. In terms of their bats. Carson Kelly, to me, not an upgrade. I mean, I know he's got a 740 OPS and it's like fourth best on the Rangers. To me, that's not what the Rangers needed. Aaron says, this team has been up and down all season. When they're hot, they're pumping wins. They just haven't found the groove yet. But I feel like it's coming and it's going to be big, I believe. I think going back home is going to be helpful. I think this team, they look like they are at the valley and they're not going to ever get out of it. They look like they're totally in the pit and not ever going to be able to climb their way out. Remember, after the Baltimore Saturday loss, coming out the All-Star break, we lost two straight to Baltimore, and everybody was ready to burn it down. I mean, not some of y'all, right? I had some people, I think, here in the lives, like, hanging on to hope, realizing, hey, we got the White Sox next. It's going to be all right. But we had a lot of people wanting to tear it down right then after we lost game two of that Baltimore series after the All-Star break. And then they reeled off five straight wins. So this is a weird team. They seem like they are totally down and out, just like at the end of last season when they lost that series in Seattle. And then they had to get on a cross-country plane ride and go to Tampa Bay, where they proceeded to win 11 straight road games in the playoffs and win the World Series. It is a weird team. They're never like totally down and out of it, but they just look bad at times. And there's just nothing that you can point to or really grasp at to make sense of how they're going to pull off winning ball games. But I just wouldn't be surprised if the Rangers go back home and put some wins together. It is crazy that they're still in it at this point. And we're going to do a little scoreboard watching here in a second. I do think there's some other games that are still going on. Pittsburgh plays Houston tonight at 7:10 Texas time. And looks like Seattle is in the middle of the fourth inning right now. It's a 1-1 ball game in Boston. Looks like it's going to the bottom of the fourth. So look, maybe we'll get a little bit of help. But look, 5.5 games, even if the Mariners were to win tonight and Houston were to win tonight, 5.5 games isn't insurmountable. Again, just remember, feels like just a few weeks ago, the Rangers were down 10 games in the division. And that melted. That division lead by the Mariners absolutely melted in a span of like 2 weeks. It's just not impossible, but it just doesn't feel good. And when Houston is scuffling, Houston dropped the last two games to Pittsburgh. You really would have thought the Rangers could have sensed the moment and taken advantage. Wasn't meant to be. This question says, do you think Langford will win Rookie of the Year? I don't think Carter still has the eligibility. I don't know all those rules, though. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I think Langford is definitely in the mix. It would help if he had a nice August and September, but I think he's definitely in the mix. I think nationally he is getting some notoriety, all the tools that he has. He's hitting the homers now. I'm not going to say, yeah, he's a lock, but I definitely feel like he has got a very, very good shot. I'd be curious what the odds are for Rookie of the Year. I'm going to look it up right now. Let me see AL for AL Rookie of the Year. That's right, because they do the separate NL-AL thing. Let me see here if I can get it. So right now, 2024 Rookie of the Year. This was July 30th article. So right now, it varies from sportsbook to sportsbook. Wyatt Langford is the third best odds right now. So Gill for the Yankees, their pitcher, and Colton Cowser are ahead of Wyatt Langford in terms of odds on favorite to win AL Rookie of the Year. Wyatt's at about 4.5-1 odds. Gill, 2.5-1. Cowser for the Orioles, their outfielder, he's 2-1 right now. So Cowser is the odds on favorite, followed by Gill and then Langford. So I would say he still has a shot. It's really just going to depend on his August, his September, what he does. We'll see what happens. Dolly has a horrible chase rate. It drives me crazy. Dolly's not been hitting well of late, and the lack of plate discipline is what gets him into trouble, no doubt. We'll keep going here. I think certain guys in the offense are uppercutting. Yeah, that is why there's a lot of pop-ups. Maybe it's guys trying to do too much. We all know that MLB, just league-wide, there's a love affair with exit velocity and angles. A lot of guys trying to get that launch angle, hit the ball in the air, which does lead to sometimes hitting home runs, right, which is great, but it also leads to popping up the baseball, and the Rangers have had a problem with that this year, no doubt. Gio says the Rangers can't get a leadoff hit in any innings today. Didn't feel like we were on at all. We felt like we had a lot of leadoff hitters just getting out. I can go back really quickly and probably tell you what we ended up doing. Ground out in the top of the first, ground out top of the second, top of the third, ground out top of the fourth, fly out top of the fifth, ground out top of the sixth, ground out top of the seventh, ground out top of the eighth, ground out top of the ninth, fly out. No leadoff hitters on today. So, Gio, good observation. You called it. Rangers, no leadoff hitters on today. In any inning, you're not going to win a lot of games that way. Manuel says this team is not taking a wild card. They're not going to win the wild card. I think they're too far out of it. Could they win the division still? It is mathematically possible. We saw how quickly the 10-game lead for the Mariners melted. I think it can still be done. The Rangers aren't giving a lot of confidence to the fans right now that it can happen, but it still can be done, especially if the Mariners and the Astros continue to drop games here and there. So go Red Sox today. Go Pirates today. I'll be watching both those games, hoping we can get a couple of wins from those teams and keep us at 4.5 back. I think we're 4.5 back right now of the Mariners, and I think we're 3.5 back of Houston for second place. Not impossible, but I can't see us taking the wild card when we're dropping games like this. I thought maybe there'd be an outside chance it could happen, but I don't think wild card is going to be something that the Rangers are going to be able to count on. Last year was nice. You had both options available. You had wild card available. You had the division that was there for the taking. Rangers get the wild card berth last year. I don't think wild card is going to be an option this year. What's up, Baseball Network? Rangers have never done excellent this decade, but you'll lose some and win many. But also, the day after we added Josh Young, we've lost the last by so much. I know. I think there was a lot of hype and not me. I wouldn't say pressure, but there was a lot of hype that Young was going to come back and help the team a lot. And you know what? He's just getting back. I don't think it's fair to him to put all the pressure on him to make the offense click. The reality is we have a really bad bottom of the order. We have a very bad bottom of the order. And right now, no disrespect to Wyatt Langford. And I'm not trying to be a hater. But Wyatt Langford and Dolly, over their last 15 games, are both hitting under 200. It's just not good. There's not a lot of good, solid hitters that are doing well right now for the Rangers. It's like Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Josh Smith, and Nate Lowe. Those are like the four guys right now that are hitting, like actually hitting. Everybody else is like under 200 their last 15 games. So again, it's Josh Smith, Simi, Siegs, and Nate Lowe. That's all we got right now. Josh Jung, we'll see what he brings to the table. Had the base knock yesterday, went 0 for today. Hopefully he can get back in a groove, stay healthy. The wrist won't have any kind of fatigue or anything like that, but it's not good, y'all. When you have only four hitters that are hitting well and hitting at all, like, look, it's not even like we've got a bunch of 250 hitters at the bottom of the order, and then we've got Seager, Simeon doing their thing. It's like a total fall off a cliff after those four guys that I just named. Just not good. Tommy, are you talking about Tommy Pham, I'm assuming? I would have loved to have gotten Tommy Pham. I can only assume that's who you're talking about. I know I'm going through a bunch of comments, and there's a little bit of delay me getting to all the comments, but Tommy Pham would have been a great fit for the team. He's a rental. He plays outfield. He's a righty. He hits lefties. He's got some pop. We all saw that last night when he hit the grand slam off us. Laced a double today into the corner. Look, Tommy Pham would have been a great addition to the team. I would love for, you know, CY to be able to answer why not Pham. I don't know if Rangers media people are asking specific questions, but why not a guy like Tommy Pham? The salary, $2 million? I don't know. I know we're trying to be cheap with the money, the ownership, the uncertain TV deal, but really, you weren't willing to eat $2 million from Tommy Pham's contract? Just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Let me keep going here. Didn't realize Langford was not hitting that well. That is a fair thing to say. So I'm glad you brought this up, Natalie. You've got Wyatt Langford multiple games over the past week getting totally robbed out there. Kiermaier, y'all probably remember in Toronto, robbed Langford of extra base hits for sure. That would have broken that game pretty wide open in the Rangers' favor. So Wyatt Langford's had some tough luck, and he did hit a homer yesterday. So again, we're not trying to come down on Wyatt. We're not hating on the guy, but the numbers are what they are. He's hitting under 200 his last 15 games. John says, when Leclerc is pitching with the bases loaded in the fifth inning, you know it's going to be a loss. Don't need to say a whole lot more there. That is 100% on the money. Look, it's hard. I can only tell y'all my experience from when I was a player, and I've said over and over, no, I didn't play at any significant level. Small school, small conference, college. I played high school baseball in the Arlington area. Look, guys, it's hard when you are getting blown out and you get asked to come in and pitch. It's just hard. You know, the focus is not there. You know that you're just being asked to eat up innings. Nobody wants to be that guy out in the bullpen. Everybody wants to come in to get the hold, get the save. Nobody wants to be innings eater, dude. Nobody aspired to be the guy that eats up innings in the bullpen when they set out to have a major league career. Trust me. So it's hard when you got to go in and have that mentality of I'm still going to pitch like this is a one-run game and it's actually a seven-run game or a 3-4-run game, whatever the case may be. But yeah, Jose Leclerc, bases loaded. You knew it wasn't going to go great. Perfect pitcher line. That's impressive. That's impressive. I don't think I pulled off a perfect game yet in the show, just being real. Kowser from Baltimore will most likely take it. Manuel says on Facebook, he has 16 homers. Yeah, I think Wyatt's going to have a really hot August and September if he wants to take it away from Kowser. John says, should the bottom of the order just start bunting? Look, you guys know I've been a longtime advocate of, can we play small ball at the bottom of the order? Can we just put our pride aside and have some of these guys start playing small ball? Can we do the hit and run ground ball right side thing? Can we lay down some bunts? I'm all for it. I don't know. I mean, you got to have guys on base to play small ball, but the bottom of the order is bad right now. It is bad. And Jonah Heim, I'll look up his numbers for you guys too, see if I can get Heim's up his last 15. But there's a reason why they acquired Carson Kelly. Jonah Heim, as good as he is behind the plate, Gold Glover, he has not been hacking it. He's not been hacking it this year up at the plate. He has not been consistent. He's had good moments. Jonah Heim hitting 170 his last 15 games. So how many hitters is that now that are hitting under 200 their last 15 games? Look, I'd take 240 right now last 15. I'd take 250, 230, 225. We've got five guys in the lineup hitting under 200 at the bottom of the order their last 15 games. Just not good. I really do feel like, again, this is the recipe for the Rangers to win. Gio says, you need a game where they destroy a team early. That's what I told y'all last night. Can we just get on this rookie McGreevy early? Can we just knock him out of the game in the third or fourth inning? Can it be 4-5-0 right away? And we just have Andrew Heaney coast 7 innings. But, you know, Andrew Heaney's out there thinking, man, I can only give up 2 or 3 runs. Otherwise, this is a loss. That's pretty much what every Rangers starter has had to think going out there this entire season. That is the recipe, though. Rangers got to get an early lead. Starters got to give you a quality start. 6 innings, 1 to 3 earned runs, something like that. And then we hand it off to the bullpen. That's what it's got to be. And otherwise, the Rangers are in trouble. They're not a team that can come back a lot. So it is what it is at this point. But I would love to see the Rangers take some pressure off the starting pitching and actually get out to an early lead and stay there. That's how this team wins ballgames. That is how they win right now. I'd love for it to be different. I would love for them to be able, like they did last year. I can remember games where the Rangers were down 5-0 last year and they'd somehow find a way to crawl back into the game or tie the game, complete the comeback. This year, not so much. So let's go. I think I caught up with everybody's comments. Let's just go to the box score real quick and just note a few different things. We talked about what the bottom of the order did today, 1-for-22. The top of the order, not bad. I don't really understand anybody that's whining about the Simi Smith flip-flop. I think it's actually a really good move. Marcus Semien protects Corey Seager better than Josh Schmidt does. Semien more respected around the league. I have zero problems with Marcus Semien hitting in the three hole. That wasn't the problem today. Simi was 2-for-3 with an RBI. I thought he had some great at-bats today. Josh Schmidt was on base today. Josh Schmidt is a guy that can draw walks. He gets hit by a million pitches. So I think Josh Schmidt is a guy that you love having up at the top of the order. I don't think there's anything wrong with what Bochy did. So anybody that's whining about that still, I don't get it. You would much rather have Marcus Semien protecting Corey Seager than Josh Schmidt. Marcus Semien and Josh Schmidt, maybe Nate Lowe, are about the only guys you would want protecting Corey Seager with how bad the offense has been. I will say this. I'll still say it. I know that Corey Seager had a 3-hit game the other day. I would like to see more homers from Seegs. His last 15 games, only 1 homer from him. I'd like to see Corey Seager driving the baseball a little bit better. I do think it's unfortunate, but these guys, Seegs, Simi, the guys that were paying a lot of money, when the whole team is struggling and when the offense is struggling, those are the guys that you are going to start being nitpicky with. I'd love to see Corey Seager find a hot streak. Doesn't have to do the 8 homers in 8 games thing that he did earlier in the year. But we don't talk about Corey Seager a ton just because he's always getting that 1-for-4 or 2-for-4 night. But I'd like to see Seeg start driving the ball out of the ballpark. We need Corey Seager to get on a little power streak. We really do. Marcus Semien too. I'd like to see Simi start driving the ball out of the ballpark. Simi's a guy that hit 40 homers just a couple of years ago. He can hit home runs right now. Simi, 3 homers in his last 15 games, which is good to see. I think that's actually a pretty good clip for him. A homer every, 5 days? I think we can live with that. I would like to see Corey Seager's power back get hot. Let's keep going. So we've got a few different things that we can note pitching-wise. Dunning, 1 1/3. I don't know what to do with Dane Dunning. He is just not having a good season right now, y'all. He's just not. 4.93 ERA, 1 1/3, 2 earned runs, 4 hits. I mean, like I said, most of them were singles, but still. Dane Dunning, I feel bad for the guy, but he has not been good of late. I think he had a nice little start to the season, but he has crashed hard back down to earth. Last 7 games, 7.23 ERA for Dane Dunning. That includes starts and relief appearances. It hasn't been good. Don't know if the injury is affecting him or what's going on, but it hasn't been good. And then beyond that, Lats came in today, 2 shutout innings. Good for him. 1 hit allowed, 3 Ks. I really think that with the acquisition of Chapin, who I just love, I think he's a great fit. Chapin being a lefty, I think he takes some pressure off of Lats. Lats was like the big spot, high leverage lefty guy. You got to imagine that Chapin is going to assume that role. Now you can have Lats come in some lower leverage moments where you want to match him up. You got Cody Bradford out there as another lefty option. So Lats, probably days are done, him being the pressure spot lefty, if you will. So I wouldn't be surprised if Jacob Latz gets right and kind of goes on a good run here of quality outings for the Rangers out of the bullpen. Not a whole lot else to go through box score wise. Let's talk about the game on Friday. The Rangers have not announced a pitcher yet, but the Red Sox, I believe, have. Don't know a whole lot about the Red Sox starter. Not sure if there's any numbers for the Rangers lineup against that Red Sox starter. Looks like it's going to be Crawford going for the Red Sox. Again, Rangers starter is to be determined. But there are a few numbers off Crawford. Looks like Josh Young is 1-for-4. Heim is 1-for-5. Garcia, 1-for-5. Duran is 2-for-2. Maybe we'll see Zeke Duran in that matchup on Friday night. Simeon is 2-for-7 with a home run. Leody 1-for-4. Corey Seager 1-for-5. Nate Lowe 1-for-5. So really small sample size, kind of a mixed bag at this point, but that's who's pitching for the Red Sox. I don't know who we're going to see. I feel like we had Evo go on Monday, so it's not going to be Evo. Evo will probably go Saturday. I don't know. Not sure who the Rangers are going to throw out there. Does Urania maybe get a spot start? Wouldn't mind that. Maybe Jose Urania on Friday night. He hadn't pitched in a little while. I could see him getting a spot start at some point this weekend with the John Gray injury. We'll see. I'll try and get that out to y'all on Friday when I post my video, the short reels that I do on my challenge, betting 1 cent on Rangers Moneyline for every follower. I really do hope the Rangers are able to have a better homestand. Can't get a lot worse than only winning one game on a 6-game road series. I don't know. I think the Rangers have nowhere to go but up after the terrible last 6-game stretch that they had, only winning one game. I think the home cooking is going to do them some good. So that is my prediction. There's not a lot to stand on how it's going to get done, but the Rangers, they are a resilient team. They do seem to win games when you least expect it. I do think Jose Urania is probably going to be Friday or Saturday, Gio, if I had to guess. I don't know who else they would really go to realistically. They just threw Heaney. They just threw Dunning. So Dunning may have been a guy you were like, hey, let's start Dane. I think you go to Urania at this point, don't you? I mean, then you can go to Evo on Saturday. That would be 4 days rest. We'll see about Scherzer. But maybe they could have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Maybe they could have another guy step in there. Maybe Bradford gets a start on Saturday. I think they're going to have to start getting a little bit creative, no doubt. No doubt. John says, if he's a rookie, pencil him in for a Cy Young performance. Crawford, let's see. Let's see how Crawford's been doing. And then I have got to get off, guys. I got a few different things going on tonight. So Crawford, last 7 games, 4-2 with the 3.86 ERA. Not a rookie. Not a rookie. Cutter Crawford. What a good name for a pitcher. Cutter Crawford. Love that. 3.60 ERA on the season, 3.86 over his last 7. He did just get roughed up by the Yankees, 4 2/3, 5 earned runs. He got roughed up by the Dodgers the last time before that, 5 innings, 6 earned runs. So like John said, naturally, he's probably going to go 7 strong, 1 or 2 earned runs. Like, that's just how these pitchers who have been on a rough streak, that's how they seem to get right. Play the Rangers. I hope I'm wrong. I hope John and I are wrong. I'm sure that Crawford's probably going to have a decent game. Again, can we get out to an early lead? Can we get a good outing from Urania or from Bradford or whoever's going to be pitching Friday night? We'll see when they announce that. But I want to say a special thank you to all y'all for tuning in today. Thank you so much for supporting Ride On Rangers. Hey, if you're watching, you're not following the account, you're not subscribed to the channel yet, please do so. Appreciate y'all greatly. And if you know somebody that loves the Rangers, loves Major League Baseball, tell them about the account. Tell them about the channel. I would love to keep growing this good group we've got talking Rangers baseball. It's why I started the channel in the first place. So thank you so much in advance for doing that for me. Hope y'all have a great rest of your Wednesday. We'll enjoy a little off day tomorrow. The Rangers could probably use it, and they'll be back home on Friday night to play the Red Sox, followed by a series with the Astros. Hope you can get out to the ballpark. If you're in the DFW area, it's going to be a great homestand. Hopefully the Rangers can make good on that and win some baseball games. All right, y'all, have a good rest of your Wednesday and a good rest of the week ahead. We'll see y'all Friday night for the Red Sox postgame, and hopefully we'll be able to catch you on a few other lives the rest of the weekend as well, or on the replay. And as I always say to end every show, God bless. Go Rangers. Have a good rest of your Wednesday, y'all. Bye now.